From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 24th day of November, 2008. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Kurt Kimmel. He's the senior grains analyst at Bates Commodities in Normal, Illinois. And later in the half hour, we'll discuss the cash grain market with the folks at the Andersons right here in Champaign County. In agricultural news, VeriSun is offering up details about its bankruptcy plan. President-elect Obama is under pressure to elevate the stature of the CFTC, and a survey of Midwest bankers shows the value of farmland was still on the upswing at least through the third quarter of the year. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories later in the half hour, and then I'll point you to some good post-harvest reading on the University of Illinois FarmDoc website. Hey, and don't forget, in just 26 minutes, we'll check in with the folks at Chesapeake Energy to discuss the global agricultural weather forecast. It all comes up on this Monday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of WILL. It's public radio from the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois.
The Closing Market Report is made possible in part by a grant from Paul Cooley of ADM Investor Services in Oakland, Illinois, a full-service commodities firm with two toll-free lines. In Illinois, 800-252-2013. In Indiana, 800-637-3123. Or email to Cooley at admworld.com.
In Chicago, on this Monday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. The nearby contract in the wheat pit at 537.5, up 38.5 cents. The March at 530.56¾, that is, up 38¾. And May wheat at 570¼, up 38.5. July for next year settled in 583¾, up 38 cents. December corn at 354.5, 16 higher. The March at 371, up 16¾. May corn at 382¼. Up 16¾, and July at 393.5, up 17¼. Next year's December 17 cents higher at 417¾. January soybeans $8.84, 44 higher. The March at 891¾, up 44½. The May at $9.75, up 45 cents, and July at 909½, up 45¾. November soybeans settled $9.50½, up 47¼. December bean meal futures for the day at $257.70, up $7.80. December bean oil $32.74, up $2.04 on the afternoon. From the CME Group's livestock side, December contract at $86.65, up $1.75. The Feb's at $87.60, up $2.10. January feeders at $91.40, up $2. And December lean hog futures at $57.37½, 50 cents higher on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. January crude oil futures, 54.35, up 4.42 for the day. December contracted 164¼ in the ethanol, or 164⅔, that is, in the ethanol, up 6¼ of a cent. December natural gas at 688, up 40 on the afternoon, or rather 4 cents on the afternoon. The RBOB gasoline at 114�7, up 8⅔ for the day. December heating oil, that's diesel fuel, at 178�9, up 8�9. And December propane, trading at 69¢, is just about unchanged. Gold futures at 819.40, up $27.70. The Dow Jones Industrial Average currently stands at 83.37, just about 290 points higher for the day. The U.S. dollar at 85.056 is down 1.60, and the CRB index at 243.31 is up 11.933 on the afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's the weather forecast for the two-state region from our own chief meteorologist, Ed Keezer. He says tonight in west central and southern Illinois and the southwestern parts of Indiana should be partly cloudy. In northern and east central Indiana, cloudy, scattered snow showers. Elsewhere, mostly cloudy, scattered flurries. Lows this evening, says Ed, from 23 in northwestern Illinois to around 30 in the far south. Tomorrow, in northern and eastern Indiana, mostly cloudy, scattered snow showers. In northern and eastern Illinois and in west central and southwestern Indiana, mostly cloudy, scattered flurries early, then partly sunny. In west central and southern Illinois tomorrow, mostly sunny. The highs tomorrow will range from 33 in northwestern Illinois, says Ed, to 45 in the far south.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Lernard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Asgrow's new Roundup Ready 2-yield soybeans. Lernard Seed Service provides services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. 217-497-2270.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Time now to talk with Kurt Kimmel. He's with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Hey, Kurt, we kind of beta tested something new over the weekend, and I want you to help me through the process this afternoon. We have a brand new telephone service that we're going rather old school. In case somebody can't get to the website or listen to us on the radio, they can always go and pick this up off of the telephone. But we're going to shorten up how things are done on that program. So maybe what we should do is this. The first question I'll always ask you will be a little open-ended, and I kind of want you to give me two or three minutes, just a quick overview of the marketplace. Do you think you can pull that one off?
We'll give it a whirl.
Okay, so here's the way it's going to go. And we're kind of teaching people along the way what we're going to do on the telephone service, too. So in order to make it quick and simple, we'll recap the numbers. I'll introduce you. You give your two-minute spiel, and then we'll start out with the question and answer session. What do you say?
Okay.
All right, here we go. Recapping the numbers is they finished up on this 24th day of November, and it is a Monday. Futures in the corn pit finished about 16 cents higher for the day. Soybeans up about 45, and the wheat futures managed to gain 38 cents on the day. Livestock futures were up $1.75, and the live cattle, the feeders up $2, and the lean hogs were up 50 cents. On the line with us now from Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, is Kurt Kimmel. Good afternoon to you, Kurt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Tell me what happened in the marketplace.
Well, basically, we saw some optimism from the higher outside markets, of course. The well-publicized Citicorp bailout or help from the government helped the stock market and returned to resume some investor confidence. And we saw the stock market up overnight and followed through during the day trade. We also saw some strength in the energy market and the metals market, and that all spilled over into the grain complex to give them some encouragement. But two, we feel that there was some option planes being unwound last week. There at one time there were over 200,000 put options in the money, and we feel that some of those were exercised prior to the weekend, and that would have been new shorts in the market wanting to get out in return to get out of a short position. We felt we saw some buying interest surface on that, especially in the wheat market where December wheat futures opened almost limit up their time.
Very nice job, Kurt. So we'll tag that with the closing here in a bit after we get done with this. By the way, if you want to listen to the way this shows up on the telephone line, it's pretty easy to remember. It's 217-333-3434. It is not a toll-free call, of course, but I figure most of you have cell phones and you probably are paying for minutes, but you might listen to it after 9 o'clock at night if you can't get to the website. But it's 217-333-3434. I'll repeat that again later. Thanks, Kurt, for helping me out with that one. And I suppose that's just about the way we'll do it from now on. So let's continue on with our conversation. Tell me more about how you see the corn market at this time, because we had the big drop down on Friday. And while we didn't gain it all back today, we gained a good portion of it back.
We tried our best. Key support there last week was at 360 area. We moved below that, and all heck broke out as we saw quite a bit of selling there with Friday being a huge down day, and we regained some of that. Get the market really maybe get a serious short covering rally going. We'll probably need to see this December futures contract get back above 360 if it could do it before we get into the big deliveries here as we go into the month of December. So that's going to be sort of the key here. But with the bullishness we saw today, we got to remember we still got some bearish news to get through, and that is the demand side of the equation. Still uncertainty on the funds, what they want to do, uncertainty on the ethanol picture long term. Then, two, the domestic demand side. Cattle and feed report showed smaller cattle numbers. Then, two, we're picking up news where Murphy Brown, the division of Smithfield, is wanting to import less expensive feed wheat to feed it down in the southeast.
all kinds of things that are a little bearish. But seasonally, is this about the time that we would normally start to turn around in the marketplace potentially?
This week's usually a good week for the bull. A lot of studies have been put out for this week, and if you take the Wednesday before Thanksgiving and the Friday after Thanksgiving, the market closes up about 70% of the time in the soybean complex. So historically, this has been a favorable week. Also, too, this week going in December sort of marks the time window where basis is fairly narrow, offering producers opportunity to convert futures positions into actual cash sales. So this is a positive seasonal factor that hopefully will kick in here and hold through first part of next week.
Is your cash grain advice changing at all at this point?
Well, we've been sellers on the way up. Unfortunately, now the market's gone down. We look back. You never have enough sold in down markets, so we're going to be playing catch-up sellers here as we move into this first, second week of December. We felt that would be the best opportunity as far as basis narrowing up. But all along and through here, we've been seeing producers move cash grain, get their money. We've replaced a lot of these cash grain purchases on paper here where we've transferred the risk to option strategies.
And finally, you mentioned the wheat market just a bit. We have a lot of wheat on the books at this point, but how are we setting up for the next harvest season here in the northern hemisphere? Did we get much planted?
That's the great debate. As we visit with producers, we found that wheat seedings were relatively disappointing compared to a year ago. We would not be surprised to see the soft red winter wheat acres be down as much as 15% here in the east. Even the western belt, you get in, up in Nebraska, on in the area there, they've been extremely wet, and they've had an awful hard time getting wheat in. We would not be surprised to see total wheat acres down. We'll sort that out as we go this winter here, feeling that could be the bullish side of the equation. But the bearish side of the equation is, if you look at prices here in the U.S. versus world wheat, we are the most expensive wheat market in the world. Then, too, we still have world supplies that are ample at the present time.
All right. Anything else to add before I let you go for the day?
Yeah, you might want to have everyone take a look at a heating oil chart.
Okay.
It feels like we're trying to break the downtrend there. So if you've been patient on trying to book fuel, we keep an eye on that. Then also, too, the dollar index chart has rolled over here to the downside, breaking support line. So we take a look at those two commodities here over the next few days fairly closely.
Thank you much.
Very good.
Kurt Kimmel is with Bates Commodities out of Normal, Illinois, where he serves as their senior grains analyst. Joins us here on the Closing Mark Report. That happens each and every Monday afternoon.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Risk Management Commodities, with offices in Chalmers and Lafayette, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities provides commodities analysis and recommendations for business and agriculture throughout East Central Illinois and Western Indiana. 866-837-9027.
Just a reminder, we're introducing a brand new service here at the radio station. If you'd like to call in to a telephone line and get a quick synopsis of what happened in the marketplace, that is certainly now possible. The number to call is 217-333-3434. It's 217-333-3434. We call it our Market Analyst Portal. Dave Dickey is here now. He'll help us take a complete look at today's agricultural news.
In agricultural news, for the first time since the company filed for bankruptcy on October 31st, VeraSun company officials offered some details about how they're already paid and plan to pay farmers for corn and about the status of some plants. The company has paid or will pay for substantially all pre-petition corn delivered after October 11th. And for post-petition corn delivered after October 31st. The U.S. Bankruptcy Code precludes payment for goods delivered before October 11th, according to the company. Bankruptcy attorneys in Cedar Rapids, Iowa, who represent farmers and a grain elevator in the bankruptcy proceedings, filed an objection with the court asking the judge to set a deadline for when Vera Sun can accept or reject corn contracts. The objection asked the court to set December 15th as the date when Vera Sun should be required to accept or reject all 2008 and 2009 Vera Sun corn suppliers' corn supply contracts. The objection says that Vera Sun's current proposal allows a company to, quote, set the price prior to committing to assumption of the contract. Meanwhile, the New York Stock Exchange announced Friday that it will delist Vera Sun Energy Corporation stock at the opening of business on December 1st. The action is being taken, the filing said, because, quote, in the opinion of the exchange, the common stock is no longer suitable for continued listing and trading on the exchange. House Agriculture Committee Chairman Colin Peterson is pressing President-elect Barack Obama to elevate the stature of the U.S. commodities regulator. Peterson says, quote, we need someone that can stand toe-to-toe with Hank Paulson. And he added, noting that for too long, the Commodity Futures Trading Commission has, quote, clearly been left out of things. The Obama transition team declined to comment on its plans for the agency. Earlier this year, the U.S. Treasury Department's blueprint for regulatory reform called for the CFTC to be merged with the Securities and Trading Commission. A district survey of 213 agricultural bankers in Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Michigan, and Wisconsin by the Federal Reserve Bank of Chicago reveals that the value of farmland in that area of the Midwest rose by 2% during the third quarter and is now 14% more expensive than a year ago. Iowa led the way with an increase of 17%. Bankers responding to the survey also reported that agricultural credit conditions had improved from a year ago, but had deteriorated slightly from very strong levels seen in the second quarter of 2008. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming at WILL. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of this program, The Closing Market Report, and of Commodity Week. You can find both of them on our website. The address is willag.org. You'll find our daily ag programming there. You can listen to it anytime you'd like at willag.org. Just click on the MP3 files or sign up to have them delivered directly to your computer as a podcast, and brand new starting this week, an old-fashioned way to listen to our analysis beyond the radio and the podcast. You can hear it on the telephone. Just dial into this number if you'd like, 217-333-3434. It's a shortened version of the analysis segment of the Closing Market Report. It's at 217-333-3434. That's 333-3434 in the 217 area code. Now up next, how the current financial crisis impacts agriculture and changes decision-making for producers is the focus of five new reports prepared by the members of the University of Illinois Agricultural Consumer Economics team. I'll have more from the FarmDoc team's website. The five-part package is available on the University of Illinois Extension's FarmDoc website. The address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. The FarmDoc team prepared the articles to illustrate the impact of the current financial crisis on the agricultural economy and decision-making. The team leader for the project and professor of agricultural economics, Scott Irwin, says it focuses on five main topics: the nature of the financial crisis, impacts on the short-term availability of credit, the connection between the financial meltdown and commodity prices, crop insurance decisions, and land rental and lease negotiations. FarmDoc's policy specialist, Nick Paulson, takes on the first topic, how we got there. The simplest and most direct answer to how we got where we are today is that over the past few years, too many bad mortgage loans were made in the United States, explains Paulson. And then, of course, he goes on. And then Paul Ellinger and Bruce Sherrick step into the conversation to discuss the financial markets in agriculture and so goes the set of five topics. You can read them all online at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. The online reading should be a good primer for those wanting to attend the Farm Doc team's Farm Economics Summit scheduled around the state of Illinois in December. Those day-long meetings kick off the 16th of the month in Mount Vernon and move through Bloomington, Galesburg, and Sycamore over the four-day run. Registration and a meeting agenda for the 2008 Illinois Farm Economics Summit will soon be posted. Complete details, of course, can be found at www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on a Monday afternoon. Time to check in on the cash grain market. Wyatt Muse of the Andersons right here in Champaign County joins us this afternoon. Hi, Wyatt. Good afternoon to you.
Afternoon, Todd.
Well, where shall we start? Let's start maybe with the outside markets, because that had the biggest impact on the futures, impacting the cash grain market too?
Not so much on the cash side today. We've not seen any moves at the processors in Illinois, but outside markets definitely propped the futures. Dow still up 417. Corn did not finish on its highs of the day, but up 16 on the close after trading 24 higher at one point.
And then maybe we should talk about wheat. When we spoke with Kurt Kimmel a little earlier in the program, he was suggesting that it was coming into the southeast and being fed. Have you heard that one?
Yeah, there were some rumors about that and some confirmed talk out of it today. Murphy Brown announced they are going to buy Britain and Brazilian wheat. Bad news for the home team as a corn producer, and it's also negative when you're not seeing U.S. soft red wheat picked up on this. When we're able to pull it out of other countries while we've got piles of grain in the U.S., it's never a good day.
You know, why is that happening, given the basis is so terribly bad on soft red winter wheat?
There's just such a surplus of it in the world, and evidently they can get it here cheaper than we can get it to them. It all comes down to economics.
Well, on the economic side, you got any guess as to how long that'll happen?
Market's got a good way of working itself out, so I got to say that it's not going to last too long. Those hog producers eat a tremendous amount of feed, and the market will work itself so that does not happen too long. But again, we never know. This hasn't happened in 2 to 3 years, so first time in several seasons we've seen it. I can't say how long it'll last, but I have to imagine it'll work itself out.
You know, I don't think I've asked this year. How much do you have on the ground there at the Andersons in Champaign County?
We did not exceed where we were last year in that 4 million mark, but we did approach the 3 million mark, and we've actually been picking it up for a good 10 days now and shipping it.
Not had a problem getting trains?
No, trains have been turning pretty well.
All right, and your bids for the day?
Cash corn, 346. Cash soys, 864.
Thanks much, Wyatt.
Have a good one.
You too. Yep. Wyatt Muse is with the Andersons. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Monday afternoon. In just 2 minutes, we'll take a complete look at the agricultural weather forecast. The folks at Chesapeake Energy in Chicago will join us.
The Closing Market Report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
With this look at AM580 News, I'm Jim Meadows. The restoring of emergency funds for state parks and human service agencies means four state parks, including Kickapoo State Recreation Area near Danville, will stay open. But the Blagojevich administration says 20 Illinois state parks and historic sites are still slated to close, including Weldon Springs State Park at Clinton and Wolf Creek State Park at Lake Shelbyville. The manager of a horse stable at Wolf Creek says she questions Governor Rod Blagojevich's logic. Kelly Bland says sales from concessions make Wolf Creek Park self-sufficient and not a drain on the state budget. Two Illinois Republicans say they have an array of ideas for digging the economy out of its crisis, ranging from cutting down on lawsuits to slashing the capital gains tax. Congressman Mark Kirk and Peter Roskam presented their proposals today at a hearing where members of the business community also weighed in on the nation's economic woes. The two lawmakers say they hope majority Democrats, who have been cool to such ideas in the past, will at least give their ideas a once-over. The woman who used to head the Illinois Lottery and Chicago-based People's Energy is moving on to a new job. Desiree Rogers has been tapped to oversee social planning for President-elect Barack Obama and his wife Michelle Obama. Two northern Indiana schools are using bottled water after water samples tested positive for bacteria. Students at Benton Central Junior-Senior High School in Oxford and nearby Prairie Crossing Elementary School are using bottled water instead of drinking fountains. Indiana state officials are trying to make it easier for welfare recipients to apply for and keep food stamps and other benefits. Beginning in January, the state will simplify its paper and online application forms. The paper application will be cut from 16 pages to 6 pages, and the online application will be simplified. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report, a Monday afternoon. Time to check the agricultural weather forecast. John Davis of Chesapeake Energy in Chicago joins us by phone. Hi, John.
Hey, Todd. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm very well. How's the view from the 22nd floor of the Boeing building today?
Absolutely gorgeous. A beautiful day here in Chicago.
Really? Is it sunny out there today?
Uh-huh. Well, no, we weren't this morning, but in the last hour, everything is broken up and our visibility is great, so it's become a beautiful afternoon.
Hey, you know, I can barely see out the studio window here, but it sure looks like, after looking through the three windows to the outside, that it's just gorgeous out there this afternoon, too.
It should be.
Okay, well, tell me about the rest of the evening and then tomorrow.
Well, I tell you, over the next couple of days, we're in for a period of pretty quiet weather across much of the Midwest. Our little system of rain and snow that moved through this morning has gone off to our east, and so we're getting ready for a very quiet period over the next 3 to 4 days. So good travel conditions across the Midwest for pre-Thanksgiving, and really no major issues of note anywhere across the Midwest as you look ahead toward the Thanksgiving holiday weekend.
Good enough. Tell me about South America.
Well, South America, Argentina is the most intriguing issue is that Argentina was getting pretty dry over the past couple of weeks, and they needed a good shot of rain, and they're in the process of getting a good shot of rain. This activity began yesterday across Argentina and will actually continue much of this week, and there's a daily chance of some convection or thunderstorms developing across the Argentine grain belt every day between now and Saturday or Sunday. And when everything is said and done, this final week of November, it looks like we'll tend to see about 80% coverage of the Argentine grain belt. So very timely and very beneficial.
Is it going to be enough is always the question.
Well, at this stage of the game, during these relatively early growth cycles, that's all you need. You don't need that much at this stage of the game. And so most areas will tend to get a half to 2 inches. So at this time of year, absolutely it's enough for now.
Corn crop in Argentina doing well then. How about the soybean crop in Brazil?
Pretty good. Dryness across some areas of southern Brazil, not acute enough to be any kind of a worry at this stage of the game, but they will be in need of rain at some point coming up. Although we don't see any precip in southern Brazil over the next week or 10 days, there are some prospects that after that, they will tend to increase their chances of getting rain as we head through the middle portion of December. So the critical issue was Argentina, but southern Brazil does need to be watched, but certainly looks like prospects over time will be improving there as well.
And finally, one other critical issue, how will Thanksgiving play out in the Midwest?
Gorgeous. Dry conditions, got a little bit cool weather for this time of year, but no precip anywhere around. And so a beautiful, beautiful Thanksgiving coming ahead.
Well, you have a gorgeous Thanksgiving, too, and the best to you and your family.
Yeah, likewise, Todd.
All right, thanks much. That's John Davis. He is with Chesapeake Energy in Chicago, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report. Happens each and every Monday afternoon. One final note, there's a brand new building here on the south end of the campus. Actually, I'm on the north end at the moment at the WILL studios in Campbell Hall. But on the south end, where I have my office in Mumford Hall, we have a brand new Carillon, and they've been testing the bells in the bell tower. Well, for just about a week, Pretty soon, it's going to be christened, and it is going to be gorgeous. So if you get on campus, you haven't seen our brand new bell tower. It's not completed yet, but it will be really, really soon. And you probably ought to drop by. It's just to the south of the Undergrad Library. You have a great afternoon. I'm Todd Gleason for University of Illinois Extension, and you've been listening to the Closing Market Report.